Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with your host, Tom Meglia, financial planner, financial coach for Crown Ministries, and registered investment advisor, chartered financial consultant. I'm Tom. How you doing? Hope you're having a great day. Today, we're just talking more about just what the show is named after, Knowing the Economy of God. And again, I'd like to just kind of introduce you to the program. First of all, that great music is by Bonnie Moore of Monrovia, California. Her website is bonnieharpsong.com. If you like the hymn music, the praise music that Bonnie is playing on her harp, bonnieharpsong.com. That's Bonnie Moore of Monrovia, California. Thank you, Bonnie, for letting us use that music. And just want to say hello. Welcome. Let me introduce you to what's going on. I'm Tom Meglia. Our website, theeconomyofgod.com. And again, the program, Knowing the Economy of God. Now, what I'd like to do is, if you're new to the program, I'd like to introduce you to just what the program's about. I've been a financial planner, financial counselor for 27 years. Also, I'd like to just let you know a little bit about what we do, what I do. And the program is basically about the Bible being about God's systems. That being said, what systems exactly? God's economy, the financial systems, the things that God has written and created for us to use and follow to bring honor to Him, not to ourselves. That's what God's economy is, as I term it. That's the phrase I believe that we need to have and use. And the economy of God is about everything to do with stewardship and finances, anything that we do or do not do regarding money and topical issues of taxes and all these kinds of things, all related to our walk with God under the Lordship of Christ Jesus, because He is our Savior and Lord. Now, when I've developed the economy of God, and we have a book in print right now, it's basically under an explanation of four basic anchor principles. And I'd like to just share with you what those are. The four anchors are, number one, God is the one and true only owner. Number two, second anchor, we are the steward or the servant for what doesn't belong to us. Number three, giving is a natural and the first order of stewardship for the Christian. And fourth, contentment. We are to grow and learn to become contented people. Content with what we have, what we are, that Christ is enough. That's the four anchor explanation that the book and my program is basically taken from. And everything revolves around those four anchors, contrasting to what the world teaches. Keeping God out of things, number one. That's the first worldly attitude that you'll see out there. Keep God out of everything. Don't bring God in it. And the second, our ego is supreme, and that we should rule. We should decide what's best, what's right, what we want to do. See, that's the thing. That's the dichotomy, the difference between the world's thinking and the believer, the Christian's thinking. And in that anchor, the four anchor explanation, God is owner, we're the servant steward, giving is the first part of stewardship, and we're to learn and grow to be content. There's a four-part recipe I've developed that is part of each anchor and each sub-anchor principle. And the four-part recipe is, number one, we identify the scripture. Number two, state the economic principle that the scripture is teaching. Number three, application. How do you apply this principle that God is teaching to our normal, our everyday life, just common living? And fourth, the prayer of change. And that is when we say to God, Lord, help us to do what you want us to do. And we may know it in our mind, but transferring it to our actions could be another thing. In the last 3 months, we've been talking about God as the owner. And I'd like to just read a few scriptures to you just to remind you or to teach you, if this is the first time you've heard this, that the scripture we'll be covering today is part of the of anchor number one. God is the owner, the only owner of everything. Our money, our assets, our resources, our time, talents, gifts, bodies, everything. God's ownership of all of these things gives him the right to demand accountability from us. And that is what will happen. Psalms 24:1. Ready? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. For he founded it upon the oceans and established it upon the waters. How about 1 Chronicles 29? Ready for this? I love this one. 11 and 12. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11 and 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. That says it, doesn't it? It says it. It really says it. And I think, too, you know, a lot of times financial planners, financial counselors, they won't bring up sin. People won't bring up sin. Sometimes even pastors don't bring up sin. Well, it's a sin not to give up ownership or thinking that God is the one and true owner of ourselves and everything that's been placed under our stewardship. God is the only owner, not God and Tom, not sometimes Tom and oftentimes God, not part-time Tom and part-time God. It's just God only. And it's a sin if I think otherwise, because that would be unbiblical. Do we still have salvation? Of course. If we're Christians, we still have salvation. But we're going to miss out on the blessings, the rewards, being part of God's eternal plan. And we don't want that. So let's go on. Let's read some more verses and get into the lesson for today. Okay? And I think you'll really enjoy this. I hope you do. I personally do. I love the scripture and the Bible. And so what I'd like to do, I'd like to read to you Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 20, which is what today's lesson is about. Then we'll talk on the other side of the break about application and finally the prayer of change. Deuteronomy 8, verses 10 through 20. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Isn't this a great, great passage in the Bible? It really hits home. I love it. It's kind of sarcastic the way Moses wrote this in a way. You know, 1400 years before Christ, this is when Deuteronomy was formed and written. Moses was the author, God above him. We know that all scripture is authored and inspired by God. We know that because that's where 2 Timothy 3:16, it says all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, Moses says in Deuteronomy 8:17 and 18, you may say to yourself, the power, my power and strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the ability to produce wealth. So I think that's very, very important. And as we come up to the break, we need to talk after the break about what are the economic principles here in this passage, how to apply them to normal living, and then the prayer of change that we never live any other way except what God wants us to do and what God wants us to be. That's what's important, is not doing what I say or any other financial planner, but what the Word, the Bible, says to do. Okay? So we'll catch up with you in a couple of minutes after the break. My phone number always, 800-386-3700. The website, theeconomyofgod.com. Catch up with you in a couple of minutes.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
Okay, we're back. Let's talk about what the economic principles are from Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 20. Firstly, we must not forget God gave everything to us. We mustn't forget. I think there's several economic principles here. Have a good memory. Don't forget when everything's increasing, you've got good things going and life is good. All is good. You're living large. As one of my friends, his name is Dwayne. He says to me, financial planner with the face for radio. I said, yeah, I'm living large. I said, how come? He's all, everything's increasing. So that's what he calls me, the financial planner with the face for radio. And I say, okay, listen, Dwayne. Everything's increasing. Just remember where it came from. It came from God. Okay? That's where it came from. We didn't do it. We didn't make it. We're not smart enough to do it. We're not powerful enough to do it. It's not our power and strength that's produced our assets, our wealth, our growth, our gain, and so on. He gave us the ability, God did, to produce wealth. So we must not forget God gave it to us. We must not forget that we need to focus on Him, not our possessions or our gains. Okay? I know a guy who counts his money every day. Counts and counts and counts. Just loves his money. Boy, he's got one foot in the kingdom, one foot out. Loves God, but, you know, he just counts his money. He's got a lot of it, and he's counting it and counting it. because that's where his treasure is. That's where his heart really is. Also, we mustn't drift. We mustn't drift from God and say, you know, I'm doing fine. I'll get back to God. You know, that's important that we don't do that. We've got to be careful not to do that. I think another economic principle is that we need to be humble and we need to be broken. Psalm 51, 16 and 17 discusses that God does not delight in sacrifices. The sacrifices of God, Psalm 51, 17, are a broken and a contrite spirit. You, God, will not despise. We need to be broken. We need to be humble. And Romans 12, 3 tells us, do not think more highly of ourselves, than we ought to. So if we have gain, if we have growth, if we have things going on for us, we mustn't think more highly of ourselves, which is pride and arrogance, than we ought to. Romans 12, 3. So a lot of what Deuteronomy discusses is about our ego. It's about our self-esteem, our person. And we've got to be careful with that. We really do. And let me go on just a little bit here. So the Lord, I think the Lord has a valid concern for us. I think this is what it is. I think God thinks and believes and knows that prosperity can lead to pride. And arrogance leads to our downfall. Arrogance is an enemy. God wants to stomp out our ego. No ego. No haughty spirit, no ego, none of the arrogance. It's very, very important we stay humble, even and especially if we have good things going, like we pass the bar exam, we have assets, our silver's growing, our gold is building, we're making money, we're accumulating assets, that kind of thing. And we have to remember that a haughty spirit puts us above God, and that means we're the idol, which breaks the first commandment in Exodus 20. So we do not want to do that. We do not want to be the idol, a mini God, so to speak. That is not what we want to do. Prosperity can, doesn't mean it will, but it can cause a prideful perspective in us too. All of a sudden we're thinking, gee, look what I've accumulated, how great I am, look what I've accomplished, look what I own, you know, this kind of thing. Look what my ambition has led me to. It's very, very interesting. We've got to be careful with that because that drives a stake between us and God. And God says that he's a jealous God. That's in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. And we're putting God on the back burner. We're forgetting God, like Deuteronomy is warning us not to do. Proverbs 29, 23. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before stumbling. And if we allow our arrogance to grow in our heart and soul, folks, we're setting ourselves up for disaster. It's very, very important. We've got to stay humble and remember that we didn't accumulate. We didn't build our wealth. It wasn't our power that did it. That is key to knowing the truth that keeps us from being arrogant. Because how can you be arrogant if you didn't do something? What are you being arrogant about? What am I being arrogant about? How can I be arrogant when I didn't do anything? What I have, God gave me. He allowed me to get. It wasn't about me doing it. Therefore, I have no right to be arrogant. That's why the truth does set us free. That promotion, God allowed it. God blessed. So our self-esteem mustn't be wrapped up in job titles, assets, or any of those kind of things. That's an abomination to God because it's pride. And God will punish that. He says so. Proverbs 16:5. He will punish our pride, anyone proud in heart. Now, you might be thinking, oh, Tom, having riches and money isn't evil. No, it's not. I didn't say it was. But prizing it is. Putting our self-worth, our self-esteem into our net worth, that's a sin. It's wrong. We must not think in God's economy that what we have defines us or what we don't have defining us. That too. We must be very, very careful. Now, let me go on to a story and teach you a little bit about how to apply this in your normal and everyday life. I'm going to bring up a guy I've been working with since 1998. He's a real estate investor, Mike. He always believed that every time he accumulated more assets, in his case, real estate, which led to being a millionaire, his self-opinion, self-esteem, self-worth grew. and became more powerful. His ego, his net worth was growing, and so he felt like, gee, you know, look what I've done. Look what I've gained. And he treated people wrong. He treated them as if they were lesser than him, even though it might have been a fellow Christian. Mike's a Christian, was then, in 1998. But he was treating people like they were less important because they had less money. So he was valuing them based on their net worth. It's not how God would have wanted Mike to be. He was very wealthy, though, but proud. His identity was in his assets, his real estate. He felt a lot of power because he felt like money moves mountains. He gave some to politicians. He put money in certain people's hands. He gained their esteem. He gained identity, gained friendships. His identity was in his assets, not in the person of Christ. But he felt powerful, and he used it. Now, did he allow God to use him? No. No way. His arrogance kept him from that. And all he did when we were together was talk about himself. He would just wait till I was finished, and even in normal conversation. How's the sports teams doing? You know, how are the Dodgers doing? And he would just switch it over to his assets, his real estate. Bought another duplex apartment building. I mean, this is what he was wrapped up in. And it's funny, to this day, he's still struggling with it, but he's getting better because those things aren't fulfilling him. Those things are not making him feel, because they can't do it. They can't do what they can't do. They're not replacing Christ. They're not replacing that relationship with Christ. He's still not married, but he's, you know, doing less of what he used to do about lording things over people. I'm a millionaire. What are you? Look what I have. What do you have? He doesn't do that as much as he did. He's still progressing, still working on things. Does Mike have Jesus? Yeah. But he needs a lot of work. He's still a little work in progress. Now, are we all works in progress? Absolutely. Yours truly too. But I think it's important that Mike keeps running laps around the track at the high school, so to speak, in terms of growth until he gets it. What is he not getting? That if you strip away all of Mike's assets and you remind him of the truth of where it came from and what it's for, and how his identity isn't more or less in someone else's who has nothing, in the person of Jesus Christ, those are the things that he needs to learn, I believe, before God removes some of these laps or tests or challenges or stumbling blocks in Mike's life. Is he still saved? Yeah, he is. He's a born-again Christian, but he's got a lot of work to do. And that goes double for all of us. Whether or not we think that, oh, we're PhDs, we have presidency, job titles, whatever. We need to break it down, strip it away, and be aligned with Christ. Now, what I'd like to do is pray for you, the listener, as you're driving around or whatever you're doing. And maybe you'll give me a call for a financial game plan that fits your life and these economic principles that I believe God calls his economy. My number, 800-386-3700. Let me pray. I'm going to pray for you, listener, right now. Lord, thank you for this day. Teach us through your word, Lord, the lessons we need to know. Change us. Help us to love you, God, submit to you, surrender to you, Lord, and to do what you want us to do in your economy for your honor, Jesus. Lord, I pray for all the listeners that we will all change and live a normal, everyday life that emulates your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. Goodbye. We'll see you next Saturday. Again, the website, theeconomyofgod.com. Bye now.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. God.